In the early morning hours of July 15th, 2016, I woke up. I knew something was wrong. Something had broken. I was 36 weeks pregnant and I woke up. I woke up. A few hours later, I was flat on my back under tungsten lighting as a team of 8 people cross-checked each other as if preparing to take flight, noting the time, confirming my name and age. And then my daughter was cut out of me and whisked to a table, a crowd of busy hands working over her. You'd think it would be hard to read someone's face if it were obscured by a medical mask, but it's not. The eyes tell you everything you need to know. The nurse's eyes, the doctor's eyes, the anesthesiologist's eyes, the technician's. They all told me something was very wrong. Maybe even broken. This is The Stuff of Life, and I am your host, Julie Douglas. In this episode, we take a hard look at what it is to be broken. My daughter was hypoxic. The umbilical cord had nearly strangled the life out of her. She had what the neurologist called a significant insult to her brain. And though I wouldn't know it until later, she had sustained a serious hearing loss. I was devastated. I felt like I had failed her, like my body had broken her. It was like being inside of a nightmare you couldn't wake from. For many nights after she was born, I dreamed she was in my arms and then gone. I would wake frantic, tearing the pillows and sheets off the bed looking for her, calling out to her until I saw her sleeping peacefully in the bassinet. I was awake and I was broken. Since then, I've come to understand that we are all broken in one way or another, and that most human-made things are too. Our ideas are broken, our systems are broken, our governments. And in this way, the personal is the political. No matter what perspective we're coming from, we can all agree that the United States is broken. But we've been here before. Time, it would seem, is circular.
This is Walter Cronkite in our newsroom. There has been an attempt, as perhaps you know now, on the life of President Kennedy.
It would be detrimental to your safety to continue this march, and I'm saying that this is an unlawful assembly. You have to disperse. You are ordered to disperse. Go home or go to your church. This march will not continue.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam, way down yonder in Vietnam.
Silver Star, the third highest medal in the country. It doesn't mean anything. I got a Silver Star, Purple Heart, Army Commendation Medal, 8 Air Medals, National Defense, and the rest of this garbage. It doesn't mean a thing.
And that we are living in a time when political fault lines are fracturing society is now very apparent.
Another signal that for all of that resistance, for all of that opposition, Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States. President Obama is the ex-president.
Can you explain your emotions to me?
We, the citizens of America,
explain your emotions
are
to me.
Now joined.
There's just no way. There's like just no
to rebuild.
No way to even comprehend what this means. Like this very, for me, this very moment
people.
Is like.
Together,
like within a cell,
the course of America,
it's like
and the world. For
the
many,
dark and the light are so tight right now. In this
come.
Moment, it's
we will face
there's
challenges.
So much
we
potential.
Will hardship, but we will get the job done
for beauty and for devastation.
Every 4 years we gather
in this one moment, it's almost incomprehensible that they can exist right now. So,
and we are grateful.
So
for
close.
President Obama.
explore this fracture, podcast host Holly Fry, producer Noel Brown, and myself packed up our things and headed to D.C. on the day of President Trump's inauguration to attend the Women's March the next day. The sun was just starting to set and the streets were nearly empty. But the closer we got to the White House, the more we saw signs like Dump Trump and crowds of people thickening. We turned onto F Street and were met with a wave of smoke.
Get away from it. Don't breathe it. Bad for your lungs.
Ahead, a crush of people gathered around an overturned newspaper box, its metal frame warping under the fire it was engulfed in. Nearby police in full riot gear kept their shields up. And just one block from the smoke, the National Guard and hovering helicopters, the streets were again empty. Occasionally, couples dressed in ball gowns and tuxedos emerged from their hotels to attend inauguration festivities. This is where we met Dan. He was holding a U.S. flag, his young son standing protectively nearby, riding the flag when it neared the ground.
We're here because this is probably the greatest president in our lifetime. We're here to celebrate it, and because my daughter had the privilege to march in the parade.
Earlier, we met Shine. She was selling buttons with sentiments like, "Not my president."
Oh, it might be mace. They have mace cannons.
Yeah. They're spraying them with something.
Yeah, it's mace cannons.
Probably. Are you serious? Ugh. Are you serious?
Shine and Dan's moods were very different.
Why do I feel that way? Because we're going to return to the constitutional status where people can work to be free, where they can work for merit, where they can work for their future. And I honestly believe we're in the rising tide that will lift all boats if you let it.
I don't feel like I don't know what everybody's feeling, but I feel like there's a certain move. It's like you get in an uncomfortable situation and you're forced to either accept that situation or you can't. It's like if you have broken legs, you can't walk, but you eventually realize, okay, my legs are being repaired right now. I'm in a healing process.
We asked Dan about empathy, about people who are marginalized, for whom the playing fields aren't leveled.
Most of us see individuals as individuals, but we see groups as pushing us back. I will take care of any individual of any nature, any religion, any sexual orientation as an individual with love. I don't feel that difference. Any one of you guys needed something, I would do it. Right now, I don't know who you are. I would do what I can to help you. But you also have to understand that nobody has a requirement to be nice to anybody. We want to help people be nice, but you're not entitled to that. You have to make that happen. And I feel there's at least as much racism against as a white person these days in terms of looking at skin color and reacting. Whereas I'm searching when I see other people for a commonality. I want to find that thread. And as soon as I find that thread, it's all good. And if you talk to anybody who's felt that way about some people, tell them to seek out the other people.
There was a lot of conflict on the day of the inauguration between attendees and protesters, but Shine made a conscious choice.
Where I saw anger, I gave a hug, and just sort of like, we could do this. You know, I'm ready to move forward. I don't have no choice. I can't go back. I can't stand here. I choose to go forward. Everybody's just got to be responsive to the situation, move forward, and take it for what it's worth. And watch their back.
So were there any commonalities for Dan? Anything he could agree with?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. I walked up to a protester who commented on my hat right away. It was right after the tear gas went off at about 11:30. They beat up the Starbucks, where most millennials hang out more than anyway the rest of us. I don't know why they picked Starbucks to damage. But there was tear gas, there was glass, and right after was a young man about 25 said, don't go in there unless you want to get tear gassed. And I asked him, I said, what's the issue? And he says, healthcare. And that's when I came up with it. I realized, I said, but you know, the government doesn't give you healthcare. People give you healthcare. And he said, well, we want it for free. And I said, well, good luck with that. And he said, well, we're fighting hard for that. Go to work and fight hard. So I don't agree with what the demands that I've been hearing. I haven't heard demands in the post-election cycle that I can agree with. And that's unfortunate, but I'm searching for that. Maybe you could give me a point of view that you think might cross the aisle. About anything.
Anything
you've heard today that you think somebody you say you identified, I want to be empathetic with that, to challenge me on this.
Gosh, honestly, from what I have heard from people who are quote-unquote liberals,
yes,
is that they're actually just seeing this as an opportunity to try to band together.
So he is the president. We do need to move forward. So where do we go from here? Like, your legs are broken now. You know, it's a healing process. They're in a mold. So what you do is inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale.
Dear friend who is a Reiki from Woodstock, New York, who is, you know, very, and he's taught me things. He's taught me, as an orthopedist, many things that I use in my daily life. Breathing, for instance. Okay? Wonderful thought. We can share that. We can grow with that. He's praying for peace, but he's afraid of what Donald Trump would mean as far as that's concerned. And so I'm praying for peace too, but in the opportunities that allow us to live our lives. And I said, what if, just maybe, your prayers are answered in a way you didn't expect it? And I think that we have a chance for the future.
For Dan, everything up until this part has been broken, and there's a promise of making his worldview whole. For Shine, she's just beginning to see the fractures. You might think that these two perspectives are like fragments from a broken bowl, never to be returned to the whole again. But it turns out that something can be broken and fixed at the same time, and in the process, made stronger. A lump of clay on a spinning wheel changes shape. It rises up as the potter intervenes with her hands, and by degrees, the form of a bowl emerges. It's then fired, glazed, refired, and finally, the bowl is the illusion of symmetry, perfection. The bowl falls, hits the ground, cracks open. Kintsugi is the Japanese art of broken pottery, the philosophy of which tells us that a shattered bowl isn't broken, but simply scattered, its true potential only now revealed. The shards are fused together with gold, and the cracks glow like gilded veins. In a Japanese parable, it is said that the bowl has become more beautiful for having been broken. The true life of the bowl began the moment it fell. We know this story, albeit in a different form. We call it the fall. And in it, Adam and Eve live in paradise, a place where everything is perfect and nothing happens. In Rebecca Solnit's book, Hope in the Dark, she writes that, quote, paradise does not require of us courage, selflessness, creativity, passion. She notes that, quote, some imaginative Christian heretics worshipped Eve for having liberated us from paradise, the myth of the fortunate fall. The heretics recognized that before the fall, we were not yet fully human. In paradise, Adam and Eve need not wrestle with morality, with creation, with society, with mortality. They only realize their own humanity and the struggle an imperfect world invites. In the early morning hours of July 15th, 2016, I knew something was wrong. Something had broken. I was 36 weeks pregnant and I woke up. I wasn't sure exactly what was wrong, but I silently pled to my unborn daughter to hold on, to live. I swear, I said, that life is beautiful. I swear it's worth it. I woke up. Later in the operating room, with hands working over her tiny body, my daughter finally took her first breath. Today I look at her and I see a kind of kintsugi at work. The mosaic of people and systems that stitch together her existence. And I see these same forces at work in binding us all together. Because life truly begins once we realize it's broken. Season 2 of The Stuff of Life, the personal is the political, and we follow the cracks in it all, starting with anger and hate, and then the miracle of empathy and compassion in wiring us all together in this great, big, broken world of ours.
Sometimes anger is an entirely appropriate response to mistreatment, and it's our own anger is a signal to ourselves that we need to take better care of ourselves.
The Stuff of Life is written and executive produced by me, Julie Douglas, and co-produced by Noel Brown. Interviews in this episode were conducted by Noel Brown and Holly Fry. Original music is by Noel Brown.
This episode also featured music by Tristan McNeil and Dylan Fagan.
And editorial oversight is provided by contributing producer Dylan Fagan and head of production Jerry Rowland.
We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your stories and your thoughts. And you can share them with us on our toll-free call-in number. That's 1-844-HSW-STUFF.